Thank you for staying with KHSU. It's Tuesday. It's the 8th of January. And believe it or not, it's 2019. I'm Wendy Butler. And here's your first Art Waves of the new year. Later in the program today, I'm going to play an excerpt of an interview, which will air on next week's Art Waves, that I did with Eric and Viviana Hollenbeck. Their nonprofit, Blue Ox Historic Village, is the producing agency of the upcoming play Radio Man, which opens Thursday night at Del Arte's Carlo Theater. The first interview today is with Kathy Leith. For many years, I've known her as the director of the Redwood Coast Children's Chorus. She just recently founded and is developing a new organization titled the World Concert Children's Fund for Children Survivors of Natural Catastrophes. Rehearsals for the fund's Children's Concert Chorus are set to begin on Wednesday, January 16th, 4 to 5:30 p.m., and will be held every Wednesday through mid-June at Coastal Grove Charter School in Arcata. Kathy joined me in the studio to talk about her vision for this children's fund.
And I should give the history behind the concept. When I was teaching in Spain, in Salamanca, this was 2005 through 2007, and I was directing a children's chorus and training teachers there through an invitation by a world-renowned pianist, Maria João Pérez. And I had only one access to an English-speaking program on my given television that was in my apartment, and it was CNN. And that's when the Pakistani earthquake took place. And I watched in horror as we always do with these sort of things, of not being able to reach children who were trapped. And it just hit me so hard that the next day I actually put up this proposal of the World Concert Children's Fund, and I presented it to the president of Caja Duero Bank, where that was my other employer at the time. And they really wanted to proceed with getting that started using the children's chorus I was directing in Salamanca, but there wasn't really time in the finances and the political aspects that would, you know, make that actually a reality. But I didn't forget about it when I came home. I continued writing and thinking about this. My daughter had taken over my choruses when I was gone, Sasha. And through various means, it just, the chorus has temporarily dwindled from 7 choruses to none right now, except for a women's chorus. But maybe that's good, because I feel now I'm on another level, mentally, creatively, artistically, and also my tremendous need for giving to this world in the next generation on a very high level. So that's what's going to happen with this chorus, hopefully.
And now, you and I first got to know each other many years ago through the Redwood Coast Children's Chorus and the World Harmony Tours. Mm-hmm. Now, the World Harmony Tours, the concert members would raise money, funds raised through the different performances of the chorus would, funds raised went to the World Harmony Tours.
Yeah.
And of course, the goal with these was creating peace.
Exactly.
Through music.
Yeah.
Which you have,
it's
said.
It's non-competitive, right.
Now, this also seems like a logical progression, mm-hmm, for you personally, because already creating peace through music, you know, creating something other than just simply the entertainment value of music, going further, and now you want to raise money, raise resources. I wanted you to talk about this. You wrote in some information about the new organization. You said you want to really help really help these children. Can you please expand on what you mean about really help? What does that involve? What different levels do you see?
First of all, it takes the necessity of forming an organization that can help me to help. And that means getting I'm working as with the Redwood Coast Children's Chorus, which this World Concert Children's Concert Chorus will be, as a dream maker. And
of the Ink People
of
Center.
The Ink People. So they're our nonprofit backing. They've been incredibly supportive as well with this concept. The first thing we need to do is get the children to audition and be part of the chorus. Then I think because kids want to help kids so badly, they feel extremely desperate when they see these incredible catastrophes happening and they can't help. Now, the reason for the natural catastrophe focus is that it can happen to anybody, anywhere, anytime, any place, especially now with global warming and what we've seen just locally with the fires and, you know, earthquakes, everything. If there is a constant fund coming in through children presenting concerts, raising money that way, they know their money's going to go to helping provide supplies or food or whatever to kids on this level.
And so providing supplies, so we're talking about food and we're talking about food and water, we're talking about
anything,
any kind of resource to help.
Yes. Now at this point, it can be very small. You know, just a little bit, because the chorus is just now being formed, I might add, for those listening, because I'm just now doing auditions, and the chorus will start January 16th. So it doesn't matter if it is now very small. The Redwood Coast Children's Chorus started with 6 kids way back when, and then it grew to 135. And 10 world harmony tours. This can be all expansive because if the organization of the World Concert Children Fund becomes something where other musicians, other children's choruses, other orchestras that involve youth can become a member of, then they, when they become a member of the World Concert Children's Fund, they then would pledge 2 concerts a year. And by doing this 2 concerts a year, they could raise $5 or $500 or whatever, but with the pledge that that money would then go into a fund, which would be right now set up through the Ink People. It would be a nest egg of finances. Then someone or a group of people form to help get it to where it needs to go. This also can be all of California becoming members, all of different states and various countries. I do have a lot of affiliates in other countries at this point who are very interested in doing this. So it could be millions of dollars, really, coming in, ready to go, ready to help, children helping children through music.
Kathy Leith, the topic is her World Concert Children's Fund for Children Survivors of Natural Catastrophes, a dream maker project of the Ink People Center for the Arts. I'm Wendy Butler, and you're listening to Art Waves on KHSU. And again, when we're talking about potentially millions of dollars, And millions of types of different types of resources. You need to also, we also think, well, when we donate, mm-hmm. I'm thinking you want to collaborate with different institutions around the world who will give the money and the resources. I mean, that's also something.
That's the long-term thing.
Yeah.
I always think big. globally.
I know. I mean, because I'm thinking to myself, okay, you can have all of this stuff mm-hmm. at your disposal, but then who is going to actually give it specifically to the children? And of course, I'm sure you're doing a lot of research into who's available and what.
That's
state,
still being formed.
Yeah.
The fact is that's way down the line right now.
Yeah. Okay.
I just kind of gave the big picture. Right now, the most important thing to make this happen is to start the children's concert chorus.
Right. Now, the auditions. I wrote a note to myself when I was mm-hmm. thinking about the auditions. First of all, the auditions specifically, are you saying your first audition is January 16th or you're having...
No, we're actually going to start choruses then. And I should emphasize the audition means that a child doesn't need to necessarily read music or be better than anybody else. They do need to be able to sing in tune and to be able to have the enthusiasm for what we're doing, including their parents. So I will meet with families on a one-to-one basis.
I was wondering about that. So you're going to ask questions also about the children's commitment to this project.
Yes.
What sort of questions are you thinking about that
a lot of times families like to have their children try out different things, then drop. Because if the importance of having this group together and that we are working towards a high level of musicianship for concerts, and that needs to take a big priority in their life and not just something that people think, oh, I'll try it and I don't want to do it. And the kids I've already met have been so, so excited, and so have their families. And already people said, well, what can I do to help, you know? And that, of course, will evolve, because that's how it works. It evolves. And I know there's a lot that needs to be done. A group of people who are interested to help coordinate all of these efforts to market it, to make a form out so that people can become members of it, to set up a contribution. People have already said, let me know, I'll contribute money for this. So I think it's just the positive feedback so far has been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you can't as a one person just do the whole thing. You're gonna want to bring on some
kind
of advisory.
That's what I'm asking for, too,
An advisory board of some kind you're going to want.
Exactly.
Of like-minded people on this. Now, I'm wondering about this. This is for children survivors of natural catastrophes.
Okay, the money goes to children survivors. The chorus isn't made up of children survivors.
Right. No, that isn't what I meant.
Some people have actually asked me that.
Oh, they have. No. And you're excited that not only these children who want to or have already auditioned and their families are committed, but the proceeds, the resources and the money are going to go to children.
Yes.
Now, please, I want to ask you this, and I don't want you to think that I'm being judgmental about that, but children and families, or children specifically, and if it's children specifically, how do you specify something like that? How do you do that separation and do it so that it's not being exclusionary?
I think there's a lot of help that goes out from the communities and organizations already to help a lot of families, you know, and national organizations as well. And of course, a parent or parents and families of survivors are all part of that whole thing. And perhaps it's the parents of the surviving children to say, well, they've just lost all their clothes. They don't have any school things left. We don't have this. You know, it could be as simple as that to, oh my gosh, we need some money for medical expenses for this child who's been hurt. You know? So it can be on a larger or a smaller level. That's where the advisory board needs to come in too. That there's almost sub-boards or subcommittees to this larger group, particularly on that scope of who makes the decisions, where it goes, if there's two or three going on at once, you know? Or do we focus? I know we'll just have a little bit of finances to begin with, so maybe it will just go to one situation. I'm not sure yet. And so because it's in such a grassroots setup in my own mind at this point, I just would really love to hear from communities who have kids ages 8 through 18. Give me a call or go on my website, which is the Redwood Coast Children's Chorus.net. There's a whole section on the World Concert Children's Fund. Posters are going to go around. And the location of this will be at the generosity of Coastal Grove Charter School. They are very excited about offering me their space after school. It's going to be on Wednesdays from 4 to 5:30.
When the chorus starts
January 16th. Whoever, yeah. You've got 5-10 kids. Mm-hmm. That's what we have, mm-hmm. You know? And then it will grow like the chorus, word of mouth.
When we talk children, resources to children, that means children, what age range?
Any who have been...
Who are children? When do you stop being a child?
Oh, I think 18. I mean, let's say I'm putting my children's chorus 8 to 18,
right.
Too.
So same thing.
Or
same
infants. Age. I mean, it's just...
For the ones who are going.
It's going to, yeah.
So for the ones who will receive the resources, that's from infancy through 18.
Yeah. But the chorus members obviously have to be within a range
of
musicianship and emotional stability, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. You know?
And the older ones, which I really hope we get some high school kids too, because they become mentors of the younger ones and they really take it upon themselves a lot to do these things. When I had the children's choruses, I had high school groups that went on tour. They were straight-A students, and they were at least five other things, but they really, really committed themselves to the efforts of the World Harmony Tours, let's say. So that's what I'm hoping, again, will happen.
And now, finally, in the last couple of minutes, just back to, in a sense, back to the harp, back to the, not necessarily the harp specifically, but back to the idea of people helping people, children helping children through music. You're talking about with this new fund, giving, you know, money and other types of supplies to children. But when I think of you, I also think of the music, the art.
It is
and,
the art.
And that,
it is.
And so it makes me ask you, what has been happening in the past decade with the World Harmony Tours, with the Redwood Coast Children's Chorus?
Last one was in Spain.
Okay.
And that's when my daughter took a group from here that she was directing and went to Salamanca, where I was directing my chorus, and we went all over. But I must say,
that was
in 2007.
Okay, so that was about 11 years ago that the last one occurred.
Yes, and I've been really wanting to do something on a different level, not just a traveling type thing for the chorus, but something that begins here, and money goes to something that's even a bigger thing. Even though we've done the World Harmony Tours, raised money for children's hospitals, we worked with street kids, you know, all kinds of, and I myself have been invited to Venezuela and to many other places to work with poverty kids, so it's nothing new for me to do this. And I feel like my own sense of musicianship is on an extraordinarily high level right now. I'm not sure why. It's almost on a spiritual level of harmonies and what can actually happen musically and training kids. So that, for me personally, is a real wonderful thing to be back, wanting to be back with kids again and let them experience phenomenal music can be like with their voices and creating harmonies that are beyond anything that they've ever experienced. And I'm saying that really quite from my heart. And so with the beauty that they make from their art, they will then provide the means of making the community happy from their art. Who will pay to come hear them? That money then going to other children. The whole concept seems to work in my mind, and I certainly hope it does. I'm going to keep manifesting.
It'll continue to grow. And again, the best place people can go, not only to find information, but to also reach you.
They can call me.
They can also, in addition to robicoastchildrenschorus.net, they can call you specifically.
They can call me, yeah.
What is the best phone number?
707-499-3920. It's on posters. It's on the website. And also even a personal email. You'll find that there too if they go to the website and check that out. And I just want to make sure that the listeners know I'm sending this with a great deal of love from my heart. And I hope that it is my wish to make the next generation a bit better.
Kathy Lyth, the Children's Concert Chorus for the World Concert Children's Fund for Children Survivors of Natural Catastrophes. Again, open auditions are now available for singers ages 8 to 18. And all interested and those with any questions, please phone Kathy at 707-499-3920. Or you can visit redwoodcoastchildrenschorus.net. And rehearsals begin Wednesday, January 16th, 4 to 5:30 p.m. at Coastal Grove Charter School, Arcata. But Kathy adds, this first rehearsal will begin with time set aside for potential chorus members and their families to meet and get acquainted. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves, and you're listening to KHSU. Directed by Michael Fields and Roman Sanchez, and written by James McManus, Radio Man opens this Thursday night, January 10th, at 8 p.m. at Del Arte's Carlo Theater, and we'll have performances Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. Same times for the following weekend. Radio Man was developed from poems Eric Hollenbeck wrote about his combat service in the Vietnam War. And the play includes Eric's poetry throughout, and also stories the playwright James McManus collected from many veterans. Here's an excerpt of the interview I did with Eric and Viviana Hollenbeck. Here, Eric talks about feeling alone and how war affected that feeling.
An awful lot of the world goes by me, Wendy. I don't get it. I don't read body language, and that's probably half of our communication, and so I'm left out on half of the communication. I really have to not talk very much because I wind up saying the wrong thing at the wrong time because I'm not quite up with it's the everyday part of life. It goes by me and I don't get it most of the time. My work I get. I understand my work. I understand Caesar and I communicate perfect, you know, but the niceties and the, it's not even niceties, it's the, so much of it seems just silly to me. And I don't mean to say that in a bad way, and I'm really glad people can do that, and I'm glad that they enjoy doing that, but I don't. I can't and I don't enjoy it.
Is this a result of your service? in the war, would you say, or was it exacerbated by being in the war? Were you, Eric, somebody who just really doesn't have a lot of interest in socialization?
I think that probably there was a piece of that going on because I didn't do well in high school. So that was no doubt some of that going on already. But then to spend 8 months in combat, 8 months under fire, everything gets zeroed down to this razor edge, and that's, you walk that razor edge all day long, every day. You sleep that razor edge at night. It just never goes away. It changes the brain, Wendy, and they can measure it with a damn tape measure. PTSD is a real physical thing. It physically changes the brain.
Eric Hollenbeck. You'll hear the full Radio Man interview, which will include Viviana Hollenbeck, as well as playwright James McManus, on Art Waves next Tuesday, January 15th. In the meantime, for information about Radio Man, to donate toward its development as a touring production, and about the upcoming performances at Del Arte, you can visit radiomantheplay.org. That's all the time we have today. I want to thank you for tuning in and remind you Art Waves airs every Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. and is available for listening all the time at khsu.org. And podcasts are available for download from iTunes. Until next time, I'm Wendy Butler. Thank you for listening.